Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we've talked a lot about the Titans this week, deservedly so, and a big game coming up against the Jets. And we'll see how the Titans can get through that one with the injuries that they've sustained. But, Joe, I don't know if you've seen this. There's another big game taking place on Sunday. Sunday Night Football. Tom Brady making his return back home to the New England Patriots with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, they came out with this stat last week that the Packers and the 49ers Sunday Night Football game was the most watched Sunday Night Football game since 2015. I think that's going to last for about a week, and this one is probably going to destroy that number, would be my guess.
Yeah, probably. The game kind of sucks, though. I mean, I hope it doesn't, but yeah, you're probably right.
That's true.
People want the soap opera.
They do want the soap opera, and I think we're going to see no shortage of that, and it's been interesting. There's all sorts of talking going on before this game coming up. There's a book that's come out spilling all the secrets of the Patriots back in the day. It's generated a lot of conversation. Tom Brady's trainer keeps talking to people and talking about how Belichick disrespected Brady and all this other stuff. And now Bill Belichick has addressed this game coming up on Sunday and what he expects in this matchup from Brady and company. Here's what Patriots head coach Bill Belichick had to say yesterday at his press conference.
It's the offense he's run his whole career. Well, I mean, it hasn't evolved here, but, you know, the running game is the running game. The running game is different, but the passing game is the passing game. It's pretty similar. I mean, you could call almost every play from the flare control to the protection to, you know, similar to the way we do it.
So Belichick seems to be very prepared for the passing game that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to throw out there. Running game's different, but the passing game, it's ready to go.
So, okay.
It's like there's something in common with that passing game.
So is he trying to say, like what is he trying to say?
I don't know.
Is he trying to say something? Is he trying to say something there?
I don't know. Is he saying, like, Brady stole his system?
Or Brady's only doing well because he's in that? Or is he not saying anything? It's just so weird to even hear him elaborate on anything.
By the way, just really passionate discussion in his vocal tones on that one, too.
Yeah.
He loves those press conferences.
Oh, huge fan.
I can see why Vrabel loves him so much, too.
It's just interesting. But it's the same tone. But usually he's using that voice to say, I don't care, whatever.
On Cincinnati.
You know? Yeah. You saw the play. Can you describe the – like, that's what he was asked about, Mac Jones' interceptions. And then he was about to say something, and he's like, you saw it.
Thank you, Bill.
He's like Lego Batman. I'm Batman.
Meanwhile, you have Bruce Arians, who, as we know, not really afraid to say anything. And we found that out pretty clearly over the last couple of years during his time in Tampa Bay. Here was Bruce Arians and his assessment of the matchup coming up on Sunday against the Patriots.
Well, I think they copied a lot of ours, so it's probably the same. Ask them which film they watch every week. They'll know. They always picked ours up and watched it, so it's the same stuff.
Okay. So Belichick. Okay, so I can't even keep up with this stuff. So Belichick has copied Tampa Bay's offense since Brady left?
I guess so.
Okay.
Gone quite as well for New England to this point.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's a guy in there that's maybe important to that offense.
Yeah. Well, that's what's I will say, I happened to be in the house for Tom Brady's last game.
You did.
In Foxborough. And, boy, did that offense and did he look mundane and I mean, the Titans were, like, they were good on D that year.
Yeah.
They were good. They weren't great. They had a great D coordinator. They had not really much four-man pass rush. He schemed up some pressures. They had a good secondary, right? Logan Ryan was good that year, yeah. No matter what the analytics say. But, like, they completely just locked down that offense in a primetime playoff game in that full rocking stadium. So what does that mean? That the Titans were actually an incredible defensive team just 2 years ago?
Could be. I mean, they locked down Lamar Jackson next game.
I mean, that game, after that game, it wasn't just like, oh, the Patriots are done. It was like, yeah, Brady. Yeah, it's been an incredible run, but boy, you're looking a little rough, buddy. And now look at the guy. So what does that mean?
It means he's pretty good. Look, I think Bill Belichick is the greatest football coach in the NFL's history. I am going to be very interested, and I have not looked this up this week, and that's on me, but I'll do it. What is his record without Brady? It's not very good. Brady's pretty important to what we've seen here. I think we've discovered that the last year.
Yeah. Well, no question. I mean, look, Belichick with Nick Saban as his D coordinator.
Yeah.
Was a 8-8 coach with Cleveland. Now, being 8-8 with Cleveland,
it's pretty good.
Back then is actually not bad. And they actually had a team that, you know, like they built up to like a playoff caliber team, but it's like the conversation I had, you know, the argument with Jared yesterday. It seems like Nick Saban comes up a lot. And again, I saw Nick Saban at Michigan State for 4 years be basically a 500 coach. Then he had one good year, 9-2. He goes to LSU and the rest is history. So there's a lot of factors. You know, I mean, look, Nick Saban is absolutely, without question, to me, the greatest college football coach ever.
Yep.
To sustain what he's done in this time. It's very different than 100 years ago, 50 years ago. It's not easy. So, but at the same time, I saw the guy. 500 coach at this place with these players. So there's always a lot to it. But, yeah, right now I think you're right. Like what you just said, I think public sentiment has definitely shifted toward – and how could it not? You know, who's more important? Is it Brady or Belichick? Well, I think maybe the answer is just like a big answer on – sports, you know, Jimmies and Joes, X's and O's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go with the Jimmies and Joes.
I mean, they did win six.
The Timmy and Toms.
Yes.
Yeah. They won a few.
Go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our buddy Gover texting in that Brady and Pat's game is going to smash TV records. I remember Montana versus the Niners for the first time, and it was appointment viewing.
Wow, Montana versus the Niners. So this would be with Kansas City and probably about 93, yeah. I think, something like that, 92, 93.
Yeah.
Steve Young, Joe Montana. I forgot about that. Yeah, I think it'll probably do well. I hope the game's good.
I kind of, like, don't you just have this feeling, especially since they kind of got embarrassed last week, that Brady is going to come out here and he's going to throw for like 450 yards and they're going to win by 3 touchdowns? That's what I felt like all week.
Yeah, well, especially they're coming off the loss to the Rams, yeah. And they got spanked. So, yeah, that's probably what will – I'm going back to this whole thing, the back and forth. So is Belichick not basically confirming that he has copied them?
Like, I don't know.
Are both coaches trying to say that the other coach copied
– I don't know.
Copied me?
Belichick was saying – oh, yeah, Brady does exactly what he did in New England with the Bucks. So he's like, I know the whole playbook, essentially. And Bruce is like, no, Belichick's been copying me forever with my whole offense. Even, like, obviously he just got to Tampa, but all the other places he's been as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, a 7-point favorite in this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Just seven points, huh?
Yep.
Okay. That might be worth looking at.
By the way, the Buffalo Bills are a 15.5-point favorite against the Houston Texans this week.
Wow.
15.5.
You do not see that in the NFL too often.
No, you don't.
Is it giraffe rookie player?
Giraffe neck.
They can't cover it. They won't.
Davis Mills.
He's going to
he will have no problem seeing over the line of scrimmage. We love Davis Mills here on the show.
I hope he becomes the greatest quarterback of all time.
Do you think there's going to be any interaction whatsoever between Brady and Belichick? Because this seems to me like something that deep in Belichick's bones, he just will totally avoid. Like, he's not going to talk to Tom Brady.
Like, I'm interested. You talking about before the game?
Or? Before or after, yeah. Whatever. Like, I'm really interested to see if those two ever come in contact with each other,
yeah.
In this game.
Well, that's I mean, seriously, that's why most people are watching, is to see that. Yeah, see at the end of this blowout whether that'll happen. Look, again, Alex Guerrero popping off like he is, and Bill Belichick knows this, that happening only happens if Tom's like, yeah, go for it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Let her rip, baby. And so there can't be much love lost here at this point.
Look, it's pretty clear, and based on the way that they were kind of acting in the Super Bowl celebration and some comments that have been made since then, like, it's pretty clear that part of the motivation for Brady last year, and I think we knew this at the time, was to just shove it to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And, you know, he was talking to Gronk after they won about they did it and all this other stuff. And I think you're going to see a very motivated Tom Brady. Like, I don't expect Tom Brady to be overly emotional in this game. Like, he's probably going to get cheered very loudly, I would expect. And I don't think you're going to see Tom Brady, like, his eyes welling up with tears or anything. I think you're going to see a very determined guy on Sunday.
The amazing thing about all this stuff is, well, I agree. You know, obviously Belichick was thinking of life after Tom.
Correct.
Late in that tenure. And the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff is obviously a sore spot. And Alex, you know, the thing is, like, we saw Tom Brady here, you know, when they got crushed by the Titans, or like the game I'm talking about. I mean, I feel like the part of this story that probably won't get talked about enough is, I think Tom Brady has probably redoubled his efforts to be healthier, to be stronger, whatever it is. He looks like a different player. And, like, I can understand logically why Belichick would go there. I mean, Tom Brady, it's incredible, Tom Brady. Like, I watched the dude in college, and he was basically like Kyle Shermer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that guy might have a chance to be a backup in the NFL. He can't quite be a full-time starter as a senior at Michigan, but he might be. Maybe he can hold a clipboard somewhere. You know, it's an incredible story, but it's also probably more complex than this guy's it's all him, or this guy it's all him.
Yeah.
You know? But it's gotten to become a wonderful soap opera for
Belichick's defense, like, when you start getting in your mid to late 30s as a quarterback, I mean, typically you're getting close to the end. That's why, you know, we probably don't talk about this enough. What Tom Brady's doing at 44 is ridiculous, and there's a decent chance we may never see anything like it again.
Well, but is Aaron Rodgers going to? He doesn't look like he's slowing down.
I think a lot of that depends on how long he wants to play, and I don't know that it's going to be until he's 44.
So he's what age right now?
I think he's 37.
Yeah, okay. Because, look, like, the arm talent, like even Tom Brady, like, at 37, wasn't throwing the ball like Aaron Rodgers is now. Well, right. He's never thrown the ball, honestly, like Aaron Rodgers throws.
Very few have.
But, yeah, it doesn't. I mean, right now Tom Brady's defying everything. And, again, like, even the way he played for a lot of the latter part there in New England, it's a different guy.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. That's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to that on Sunday night. I watch every snap.
Stay up for that?
Yeah, unless it gets to 48-0.
Yeah, but you don't want to see the handshake or lack of handshake at the
end? Well, maybe. Maybe I guess I will stay up.
They're going to hold viewers.
We'll see what happens. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off on gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slims, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing in Nashville. Get your deal now while they last at thegamenashville.com/deals. We'll come back. We'll get into a little college football. Are we starting to see the college football that we know and love come back this year? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Coach, I hate to keep harping on the attention that you have received, that your team has received, but I am curious what it's like to be on the other side. You, at least from a social media standpoint, look like you're getting a kick out of it, regardless of what people are saying. Do you let any of this stuff bother you?
I really don't. I mean, I know I reacted to one yesterday, and I just did another interview about it. I just thought it was unusual. You know, normally those type of things are said about you by, you know, some fan, you know, in some chat room, not a professional media member. So I thought it was a little bit different and had some fun with it. And especially when it's coming from someone that's never met you and doesn't know you at all. So whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, and Michael Wilbon on PTI yesterday, you know, went after you. And I have to say, it was surprising. It seemed, you know, if somebody had said that about you 8 or 9 years ago, maybe there would be some justification. Maybe there wouldn't be. I don't know. I'm kind of awkward in saying that since I said some of those things 8 or 9 years ago. But
I did see it yesterday. I said, God, that guy Feinbaum me.
But, I mean, you laughed it off, even though he is a very prominent person who not only used to be a sports writer at the Washington Post, but is one of the most familiar faces on ESPN.
Yeah, I probably would have cared years ago. I really don't. Like I said, it's somebody that's never met me, never covered us, never been around us. And to say that I've never done anything.
That was Lane Kiffin on with Paul Feinbaum yesterday. Did you see this the other day? Mike Wilbon just basically eviscerated Lane Kiffin on live television.
You know, honestly, I heard about it, but I don't even know what he said. What did he say?
I mean, just basically, like, Lane Kiffin's a clown, and, like, anybody who has Lane Kiffin representing their program should be ashamed and all this other stuff, which, honestly, if we were having this conversation about Lane Kiffin, you know, in 2010, 2011, maybe a little bit more credence to it, but Lane's been, for Lane's sake, relatively calm as of late. Seems to be a little bit more mature.
Yeah, so I guess I'd like to then ask the next question of, is it because of, like, his personality, his interviews, his social media, because more like the long ago stuff in Knoxville. There's people in Knoxville who still are like, keep that guy out of here. Even though a lot of fans, and I understand the fans saying, yeah, we'll take him back. The guy wins.
It's pretty amazing. Like the about face that the Tennessee fans have done on Lane Kiffin, where obviously after he left, right, he was public enemy number one.
Sure. But he was public enemy number one because he left the team.
Exactly.
It's not like he was run out of town, right?
Right. But I'm saying, like, they've forgiven that pretty quickly because I know a lot of Tennessee fans that were pretty upset that apparently he didn't even get a phone call this last time around.
Michigan State and LSU fans would take Saban back right now.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you have enough success, and you know, you're fine. It does. It seems also like, I mean, if like a fraction of stuff I've heard about Lane Kiffin in Knoxville are true, you know, like there's like reason for like, dude.
Yeah.
But that was what, 12 years ago? 13 years ago?
13, yeah. So.
Mature. I guess matured 12. A little bit. And the funny thing about that is all of it came after he was the head coach of the Raiders, you know, which is just.
There was a clip that they put
amazing.
Up on.
Amazing.
I guess a flashback the other day of Lane Kiffin as head coach of the Raiders trotting out Sebastian Janikowski to attempt a 76-yard field goal. As you know, it was short. It did not make it to the end zone.
God, that's awesome.
76 yards.
I still remember like the Al Davis tirade when he fired Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was 2 days after he tried the 76-yard field goal.
Is that right? Yeah. Good time.
Going out
good
in style.
Times. But, man, I don't know. Lane Kiffin, he's a short period of time at Ole Miss now. You know, look at what's going on. He just seems to bring, I know it's such an overused word, but like a swagger to a football team.
Yep.
That actually is useful on the field.
Yeah.
But he's pretty good.
He's pretty good, and they got a big one coming up on Saturday against Alabama. Bama, 15.5-point favorite in that game. There's a lot of people that think that Ole Miss, they might have a legitimate chance in this game to win, not just to cover the 15.5-point spread. I mean, Vince Ferrara was on with Darren Donica Chase on Monday, said he thinks that, that was Tuesday, thinks that Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss and company are going to win. Paul Feinbaum thinks it's going to be a really good game. I'm interested to see this game.
I think that's got a chance. I think it's got a chance to be a good game. I also think this sets up for like all of us to be like, oh, okay, yep, that's right, it's Alabama.
The over now, under is 79.5.
Yeah. Well, look, we saw it last year.
Look, Matt Corral's a good player.
Absolutely. No, that's a good team. We saw it last year. Alabama could not stop them. Lane Kiffin knows what Alabama does.
Yep.
And sometimes it doesn't matter, but I think his team's going to score a lot of points. I do think Alabama off. I know Ole Miss is, you know, looks better on D and all that stuff. I think Alabama's going to be just fine, yep, offensively, but I think we might have a good game.
This has been a really good college football season so far in terms of, you know, honestly, the last few years, you get about 5 weeks into the season, and I don't know about you, but I look around and I say, all right, well, pretty much know who's going to be in the playoff. It's going to be Alabama. It's going to be Ohio State. It's going to be Clemson. And it's going to be somebody else, probably from the SEC. And that's pretty much what it's been. This year, like, I feel pretty confident that Alabama's probably still going to be in the playoff. Georgia looks awfully good. Outside of that, I don't really know right now what the playoff picture is going to look like. And to me, I think this is a really good thing for college football. If they could have a wide open year where it's not just, I don't want to use the word predetermined because nothing's predetermined, but it's not just your normal, hey, these are the four, five, or six teams that are typically in the college football race for the playoff. If we could get some new blood in there this year, which I think we're going to, this could be really good for college football, I think.
No, it's badly needed. It really is. It's just what had to happen was some of these teams look human, and Clemson seriously has looked human. It's amazing. So we had Bruce Feldman and Grace Rayner. Grace covers Clemson for us at The Athletic. They did this big piece yesterday about what is going on with Clemson's offense. It's the numbers are incredible. And, you know, sometimes it hurts to lose a Trevor Lawrence and a Travis Etienne. You just assume, well, it's Clemson, five stars galore, they're going to be fine. Well, they're not fine. They're bad. They're bad on offense.
Yep.
That could change, but, hey, there's part of it. Ohio State, I mean, all of a sudden everybody's questioning everything over there. You got guys quitting in the middle of the game and saying, yeah, bleep Ohio State in the locker room. You've got the offense looks kind of blah, but the defense and Kerry Combs, people are all over him. And I mean, it's amazing how fast that can go from one loss and a couple, you know, so-so games. I mean, that happens all the time. That good, even these teams in recent years, they've had their yuck weeks, but you know, but this looks different, like with both of those teams. So now you take them out, and then Alabama looks mortal even. I mean, I'm not even sure what Georgia, everybody's so convinced that Georgia is, you know, a true juggernaut this year, and they may be. But again, so much of that is based on shutting down that terrible offense in Clemson. Yeah. You know, so I think there's a lot of possibility for various teams. Oklahoma even is kind of like that one team that's always in the playoff, but you don't want them to be in the playoff.
They don't look good.
They don't look good at all. I mean, they survived, you know, West Virginia at home, but yeah, this is. I mean, what we need this year is we need Cincinnati. I mean, I hope Ryan Porth is listening.
It's a big one coming up on Saturday. They're going to have to win Saturday in order for that to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
They've got Notre Dame. But they're a 1.5-point favorite. But to your point,
who's a 1.5-point favorite?
Cincy.
Really?
Yeah. But to your point, like, it's so wide open, at least it seems to be so wide open this year, that if Cincinnati can win on Saturday, I think they've got a legit chance to get in there. There was never a point last year where I thought Cincinnati was legitimately going to get into the college football playoff. It did not happen. Now, I think they've got a chance if they can beat Notre Dame.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. You got to have a game like this.
Yep.
And really what you got to have is you got to have Notre Dame somehow survive Florida State,
yep,
somehow survive Toledo. And they're not that. I mean, even the Wisconsin game, they were getting beat, and all of a sudden it just everything goes wrong for Wisconsin the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Just an avalanche of mistakes. They're not that good, but they're undefeated top 10 Notre Dame.
Yep.
And if you can beat them, you have to beat them. And you might have to beat them impressively. I mean, the rest of the schedule is Temple and
right,
UCF, and you know, it's just, well, this only, is the hard part for a group of five teams.
Not only do you need to beat them, but you then need Notre Dame to continue to win after you beat them. Yeah, you need them
absolutely
to be better.
You need Notre Dame then to justify your claim that was a huge win. And Notre Dame's got Virginia Tech on the road, and they got UNC. You know, actually, the rest of Notre Dame's schedule is pretty manageable. I mean, they get North Carolina and USC at home. At Virginia Tech would be the toughest game probably on the schedule at,
yep,
Stanford. So it sets up if Cincinnati can get it done this week, and that would be just great. I understand people are going to say, oh, good, so we get to see Cincinnati get bombed by Alabama. Well, that's going to be the problem whether you have a 12-team or whatever your playoff is. You're going to have some blowouts.
Yep.
But at least to have some new blood in there. And I do feel like this has been the best start to a college football season in a while.
Ryan Porth will be there in attendance.
Yes.
Under Notre over. Dame. Will he cry since he wins?
Probably.
He better. He better do that little sandstorm dance on the 50-yard line if they win.
We'll see what happens.
Does he have tickets? You have tickets, Porth?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's
that's awesome, man. That's great. That's great. Great place. I think they got a chance. I think they're better. I think they're better. I'm surprised they're favored.
They are.
But I think that they're a better team.
Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Sharks at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, October 26th? Well, if you do, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Preds take on the Sharks. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October the 4th. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on college football. How big of a game is this for Josh Heupel and the Vols coming up on Saturday against Missouri? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
I won't share the conversation you and Porth are having about Brian Kelly and Skyline Chili, but my gosh, it's gotten weird in here.
Just want to point out, I did not bring this up.
Take it easy, Porth.
Yeah, calm down.
Don't be mad at Brian Kelly.
It's going to be all right.
You know, he had some good times in Cincinnati.
He did.
That 09 team was really good. Come on, man.
Yes, it was.
That's the angle. I wonder how much that will be talked about this week. You know, it's been so long. You know, you don't even think about Brian Kelly in Cincinnati anymore.
Right. It'll be brought up about 1,000 times on the broadcast.
The Bearcats fans are still salty.
Oh yeah, I mean apparently so.
Hey, Luke Fickell's doing things Brian Kelly didn't do with this program.
That's right. Now I'd be worried happy. About Luke Fickell and whether or not you can keep him.
Well, he turned down Michigan State last year.
He did.
So he's holding out for, basically he's holding out for when Ryan Day gets fired this year when they go 7-5. So there you go.
Maybe that could be it.
And then it's Luke Fickell versus Mike Vrabel for the Ohio State job. Oh, my gosh. Imagine the fun we could have.
Oh, yes. We could really get down that rabbit hole.
Best nice. Friends.
Let's go.
Fighting for the Ohio State job.
To our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Andre from Nashville. Andre, what's going on, man? How we doing?
What's going on, big guys?
What's up,
Andre?
Let's talk a little college football. This is the week that's going to separate the pretenders and the contenders. So is Arkansas, is Ole Miss ready to step into the upper echelons of college football? I don't think so.
It's going to be a big week, Andre. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, you've got...
Those are two great choices of games.
Well, it is. In Arkansas, you know, they've moved into the top eight. So you've got Arkansas at number eight in the country. And look, we've talked about it. It's been one of the best stories in college football, what Sam Pittman has been able to do there. And you look at this line for Georgia and Arkansas, Georgia favored by 18.5. So the number two team in the country, number eight team in the country, 18.5.
Tell you what, Sam Pittman, he's done an incredible job. It's a great story. You know, the career offensive line coach, the players actually write a letter like, please, we want him back as our coach. They actually listen to them. Usually that doesn't go well for you.
Yep.
If they hang in and have a chance to beat Georgia on the road this week, I mean, just make him National Coach of the Year right now. Because I think I agree with Andre. They're probably going to be, you know, they're going to be knocked down a peg. I think what they did at Texas A&M was very impressive. I think also it exposes again, Jimbo's not earning his salary right now at Texas A&M. Ole Miss, Alabama, we've talked about that one. Fascinating game. There's just a lot of really good games this week. I mean, just the SEC schedule alone, even when you get down to like, anyway, it's like fifth on the slate, but like Auburn LSU is a fascinating game.
Yeah,
you know, in the SEC. I mean, Tennessee Missouri is a game that very much interests me. But Michigan Wisconsin is a really interesting game. But I think the headliner is Cincinnati Notre Dame. But this is one of the best weeks we'll probably have all year.
It's a great week, and you brought up Tennessee and Missouri coming up on Saturday. a big one for the Vols. You know, you get beat 38-14 against Florida. You know, Missouri with a loss last week to Boston College. This is a big one for Josh Heupel and company. And you, we talked about the comments that Alante Taylor made after the game about how this team is not going to fall apart and this is going to be a team that's able to continue to build and stick together. We're going to find out on Saturday because I said it Tuesday, and I'll say it again here. This is a game, in my eyes, that Tennessee should win. I think this is a huge game for Josh Heupel and trying to dictate how the rest of this season is going to go. Because, I mean, look, we know this. You look at Kentucky on the schedule and Alabama on the schedule and Georgia on the schedule. There are some tough games that Tennessee has coming up. You need to win against Missouri and South Carolina if you're going to have a chance at six wins this year. It's just that's the bottom line.
Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You know, Ole Miss coming in for, I think, a game that will probably see a lot of points on both sides. I agree. Look, honestly, based on both teams and how they've played so far, I feel better about this game for Tennessee than I did before the season. I mean, Missouri's been a little bit disappointing to me, but Bazelak is still a very good quarterback. And, wrote about Byron Young today. I think that's a key for Tennessee moving forward. Byron Young, Tyler Barron, Byron, whatever you want to call it. You got to get some pass rush going. You got to have as much difference making as you can have on that defense. But ultimately, your offense is going to tell a story. Now, he said on Vol calls last night, the Hendon Hooker, he actually talked about injuries. So I guess Vol calls is a way to. That was kind of like the same thing with Pruitt, though. Pruitt would say stuff on Vol calls that he wouldn't say in press conferences. But Josh Heupel, that's what. So maybe we do need the fans asking the questions. to the earlier point, maybe we need
Well, he's basically closed down practice this week, hasn't he? So
yes, but he said that Hooker is out there. He's practicing, so it doesn't sound like the Florida injury is that serious.
Yep.
So it sounds like Hooker's probably going to start, and you just got to make those plays. And these next two games, I mean, it's really going to, if you're 2-4 after these games, for example, then you get Ole Miss, Alabama, Kentucky, and Georgia in a row. So all of a sudden now you're looking at 2-8 potentially, and then whatever, South Alabama, Vanderbilt at the end, great.
You got to win these two games. You just do.
If you're 4-2, all of a sudden, you have those last two, and shoot, you could even look at Ole Miss and Kentucky, and say, hey, take a swing, outscore Lane Kiffin and send his butt out of town. Kentucky. I mean, Tennessee has that history of success against Kentucky. It's in Lexington, but you can go score points on that team. I mean, it's such a different this two game swing it sets the tone for the whole thing.
Well, and it's going to tell me a lot about Josh Heupel in terms of can he keep this team together. Now, if you roll into the South Carolina game and you have 15 injuries this Saturday, I mean, there's only a certain amount of depth that Tennessee has. And that's, that was one of our concerns with this team heading into the season. They're going to have to stay healthy pretty much for the most part in order to really have a chance to compete in a lot of these games. But I don't think South Carolina is very good at all. And Missouri, they've got a good quarterback. They've got some pieces that you feel good about. I still think Eli Drinkwitz is a pretty good coach. But to me, this is a game Tennessee should win. And I'm interested to see how Josh Heupel can get his team prepared for this game.
Yeah, it's because you've got the – I don't know where, Tennessee is anymore in terms of – I mean, it's a big game, of course.
Sure.
But – this is not like in the old days when Tennessee and Florida would play, and you'd really worry about the next week because everything is built up. I mean, shoot, the whole college football world, it's very different now. It's a rival, but is there a concern about bouncing back from that? I mean, this week you got Dan Mullen, by the way, just basically saying, yeah, now we have a really tough opponent, after the Vols. Can they quickly turn it around and you got to think that it's almost like with Vanderbilt too. I hear everything that Clark Lee's saying about hey, go win your one-on-one battle, put yourself out there, but it has to be hard too when you kind of know what the outcome is going to be. So a week like this, I think Vanderbilt is probably going to be excited because they know they have a chance to get a W, and that's how Tennessee should be too.
Yeah.
Okay, here's an opponent that you can look on film and say, okay, we're actually better there, there, and there than those guys. We can win this game. Sometimes I feel like that's even better for a team in terms of energy than here's your chance to shock someone.
We'll continue the conversation on the Vols when we come back. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How big is this game for Josh Heupel? What are you going to learn about this Tennessee team as they take on Missouri coming up this weekend? 615-737-1025. After 20 years on the same sideline, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick meet this weekend as opponents. It's the GOAT QB versus the GOAT head coach, and you can be a part of the epic showdown with unbelievable odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can win $125 on a $5 bet. If either team scores a touchdown, that's right, 25-1 odds on any touchdown, anytime, during the Tampa and New England game. I think Tom Brady, he's going to score a lot of touchdowns in this game. The money line, the spread, the first touchdown score, everything on the table. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and they get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook today using promo code ROB and make your first bet one for the history books. Just don't forget to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $125. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.vandal.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nationals Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. You can learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Going to have Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 join us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get hot and heavy into the Titans discussion with him, so looking forward to that here in about 12 minutes. Right now, talking Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, this is a big week for this Vols defense because, you know, I think at this point, based on the play calling that I've seen, I feel pretty comfortable about Josh Heupel putting together a game plan that can be successful. Now, it's one thing to put the game plan together. It's another thing for your players to go out there and execute it, and that has been kind of a mixed bag so far this year as to whether or not the players have been able to do that. Defensively, I think this is a big test. I thought in the first half last week against Florida, they were really physical. They played well at the line of scrimmage, and then they kind of got worn down as that game went along. Obviously, it's a different challenge going up against Missouri than it is Florida. Missouri is not as physical as Florida is. They can hurt you through the passing game, but this is a big week for Tim Banks in this defense. You've got to find a way to get some stops to allow your offense to not have to be perfect. Can you sustain that physicality? Can you sustain that intensity throughout the game? That's going to be really something to watch this week for this Vols defense.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you got to affect Bazelak. You know, I mean, that's the best part of their team is throwing the football. You know, that's going to be true of as we look forward. You know, again, games that are potentially winnable. I mean, obviously Ole Miss, that's a different level than this. I mean, even Kentucky now, I mean, although the last couple weeks hasn't been great, you know, they can throw the ball like they haven't been able to. And you got to – I think the secondary is fine, but you got to help the secondary with pass rush. Again, I feel like up front the Vols have been able to use their depth and play well at times. I thought they played really well in the first half. Like you said, linebacker position, mean, they're using all four of those guys on the inside. They're just rotating them. So I guess, which is probably smart because you're going to have an injury, and then at least you're not going to have a huge drop off, I feel like. But it's also, there's not like a very high level of play, I don't think, from that group.
Nope.
But Barron, those guys are, Barron is, I mean, as a sophomore, like you can see what kind of player he may become here. He may be on his way to becoming. You know, Byron Young is a crazy story. And I think you can see, like, boy, he's got burst. Like, can they get him this year to be like a technician and actually finish plays and get the quarterback to the ground? I mean, I think you're going to see this week those two guys, you know, on those obvious passing downs on either side. And that's one of the areas where I think they could actually be better than average and better than they've been recently.
Well, and a big week for two guys specifically on both sides of the ball on the injury front. Obviously, quarterback, and I mean, it is what it is. We'll see what happens with Hendon Hooker. Hopefully, he's able to go. But can Cooper Mays play? Like, is Cooper Mays going to be out there? It did not look good at the end of that Florida game, and he was hobbling around to the point where it was almost uncomfortable to watch. Yeah. Like, you wanted to get him out of there and kind of save him from himself. And then on the other side of the ball, Elijah Simmons also did not look good at the end of that game. And you're talking about the line of scrimmage where I think both they held up okay in both fronts. If you don't have either one of those two guys, all of a sudden that challenge becomes a whole lot more difficult.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, based on how Simmons – at first I think he was very afraid of the injury and he was clutching the knee and everything. But, like, he moved around pretty well after that. So maybe it's just one of those scares. That happens plenty.
Sure.
You know, you get a little hyperextension or a little sprain or something. That still may not be good for this week. But, man, I can't imagine Cooper Mays plays this week after that. Like,
it was rough.
Yeah. I think he probably shouldn't have played in that game. He was trying to gear up and get himself out there. After what we saw, I would not be surprised if we don't see him again until like Ole Miss, Alabama, or something like that, which is tough for that offensive line. But I still also think in this game, based on what I saw in Missouri, especially last week, I mean, I think like Tyon Evans could have a day.
Yep. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in, all they got to do is look good enough to encourage recruits to commit and stay committed. Winning this week helps, but not much. You just can't lose by 10-plus in this game. So, Ben, all about the recruits.
Well, recruits are important, but what about the season that's happening right in front of you, Ben? Don't you want to win?
Well, also, winning helps with recruits.
Yeah.
I know it's, you know, a win against Missouri is not going to totally change the tide of your program, but winning this game would be much better for recruiting than losing it.
Exactly. Again, you just lost some huge in-state recruits to Kentucky.
Yep.
You know, you need to look at Michelle in there.
Just throwing her hands up.
Round of applause for Mark Stoops.
You know that you gotta win games against those other SEC East teams that are not elite, and at least sort of try to establish yourself as, okay, we are better than them. I mean, Kentucky's a different deal, like what they've done with the program, but like Missouri, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, bad to lose any of those games on the recruiting front, more than it helps you to win. But again, it's just about the bottom line. I think a 6-6 year in Heupel's first year would be sellable.
I think it would be too. And on the other side of that, and this is just how this works, especially with Tennessee fans, you lose against Missouri, you lose against South Carolina.
What's his buyout?
I don't know if it's going to go there immediately, but there's going to be a lot of negativity. Turning off Twitter and talking to your friend that Danny White wants every Tennessee fan to do, it's not gonna go that way. They lose these games to Missouri and South Carolina.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fan base that desperately wants to believe, but also is quick to not believe.
Yes, well, it is.
And they look,
with good reason,
yeah,
for the most part.
They've been treated to – really, they should get like 3 years of free tickets for what all has gone on in the last few years.
But there I was again. That's not going to happen. There I was again on Saturday. I knew what was going to happen. I knew what the result was going to be. But when they took that 14-10 lead, I allowed myself to begin to believe.
Sure.
And that was it.
They played well.
They did.
They played well up to that point. They ended up, you know, losing to a much better team. But at that point, they had earned some faith from you for a few moments before it all fell apart.
Phil texting in, biased Mizzou fan here, but we've smacked UT around since joining the conference. I mean, I think Tennessee's beaten Missouri the last 2 years, haven't they?
Let me look at the, I mean, I remember my – now, I do remember that Heupel had a hand in Butch getting fired because Heupel was the OC
sure,
for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Heupel was the OC for that Mizzou team in 17
yeah.
that put a nice 50 spot on Tennessee.
But, Mizzou's had some success against Tennessee, for sure.
Also, Mizzou just lost to Boston College, sir.
Well, that's true, too. Hey, BC is undefeated.
Yeah.
Tyler Vrabel. Blocking away. So, let's see. I don't know about smack him around. I mean, Tennessee won 35-12 last year and ran at will on that defense. Like, ran all over that defense. Now, Bazelak comes in and you see some life there.
Yep.
Year before, like you said, Tennessee went. Yeah, I mean, in 18 and 17, is that right? They were back-to-back 50-17 wins. 50-17
Well, even, I think Tennessee beat Missouri in 16, and it required Josh Jobs rushing for almost like 300 yards.
Of course, the final was 63-37. Yeah. So I don't know if Missouri's been smacking Tennessee around. Butch beat them in 15. Yeah, then, you know, Missouri had absolutely better teams back around the end of Dooley / beginning of Butch. Mizzou had some really good teams back then.
Yep.
A little Blaine Gabbert action. They won three in a row. But, yeah, it's been a good series. It's been a better series than, like Tennessee fans or Tennessee would want to
– Oh, yeah.
Would want it to ever be. I mean, shoot. That win in 19, not a very good Missouri team, and that was – Odom was on the hot seat, but that was a big win for Tennessee. That was a big performance by Jarrett Garantano.
JG. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, which is Joe Rexroad's favorite competition, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game Sunday, you win a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate tomorrow morning at 9:45. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they look ahead to the Jets coming up this week. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.